This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You don't got to get upset. You're getting upset in here.
I'm not upset.
You're upset.
I don't think I'm being mean. It sounds mean. But right now, the bottom of the Padres order, 6, 7, 8, 9. And there are guys.
We love them.
We love them. We're pulling for them. But essentially, you know the concept of war. Wins above replacement. That means, you know, what do you provide more than a replacement level player?
Correct.
They're all just replacement level players. There are replacement level players. There are guys. But you could wipe them all out, bring in four other guys, and essentially not much is going to change. Connor Joe, Tirso Ornelas, you bring up Aggie, you know, throw in Yuli, whatever. They're just roster filler right now at the end of the Padres roster.
Yeah, it's tough when your roster filler bench pieces are your starters. It just, yes, because of injury, it's tough. It's really, really tough.
I was thinking during that last segment, I'm like, we're really arguing about Connor Joe versus Tirso Ornelas?
Yeah,
like,
and is that
where we're at right now?
I'm not trying to be a jerk either, but I got, literally, my phone's blowing up. We got to get Campy up here. And I'm like, Campy, Luis Camposano, he of the 40...
replacement level catcher. 40,
he of the 45 chances to produce at the big league level.
And there are no non-replacement level players available. I see people, J.D. Martinez is still out there. Where's David Peralta? I mean, maybe...
David Peralta's on TikTok. That's what he's doing every day.
Maybe there's a move. I mean, eventually, hopefully, there's a move, a trade at the deadline where you can bring in a non-replacement level player to perhaps, you know, take some DH at-bats or some left field at-bats. But right now, especially with the injuries, the bottom of the Padres order is filled with replacement level guys. They could essentially just be wearing blank uniforms on the back. Some of them are right-handed, some of them are left-handed. So your only advantage is the matchups. And when you get a lefty reliever in there, put one of your righty replacement level players in to hit. When there's a righty coming in,
put in
one of your lefties to hit. It's the only thing Mike Schilt can do at the bottom of his order right now.
That's it.
If he's counting on Connor Joe or Tirso Ornelas to somehow break out and become stars, it's really not going to happen. They've already kind of hit the lottery with Gavin Sheets so far this year. That's an incredible win for the Padres because if and when they get healthy, a lineup of Tatis, Arraez, Machado, Merrill, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Sheets is now looking like a really formidable top seven.
No doubt.
But, you know, and that's something that I think the Padres can contend for a World Series.
Yes.
With that lineup, maybe you pick up one more guy as your eight hitter. You know, the catchers keep doing what they're doing, which is fine. What they've been, you know, at the nine hole. You've got a World Series potential roster there if you get healthy. But right now, you got half a lineup.
Barely.
Half a lineup right now.
You got a top four.
And there's
four.
Nothing you can do about it in the short term. There's really nothing. You just hope one of them gets hot. Because even replacement level players get hot occasionally. So maybe Tirso gets hot. Maybe Connor Joe gets hot. Maybe Yuli gets hot. And then you play him a little bit more until your regulars come back. And then those guys go back to the bench or back to AAA where replacement level players belong.
He's got Mason McCoy now.
Yeah. But guess what? Replacement player. That's what they all are.
That's it, man. It's hard. And I get it. It's a tough watch. It really is. You don't get a base runner on after the fifth inning. And, you know, again, credit to Detroit's bullpen, certainly. But, I mean, you know, it makes the top of the order feel like they have to do it all. And I think, in essence, Ben, they do. I really, really feel like they do need to do it all now.
And credit to the Padres bullpen, which pitched six more shutout innings. Yep. Logan Gillespie gave up a couple of inherited runners. But 2 2/3 from Gillespie. 1 1/3 from Wandy, 2 innings from Yuki. They didn't win that game, but they kept the team in it. So if they did run into a ball at some point, they could have won that game. More importantly, though, they have set them up for the next two games with the back ends of their bullpen. They didn't have to dip into any of the top guys.
Oh, yeah.
They allowed them to take a day off. Yes, it's a loss, but it's one of those small victories in a loss that helps you over the course of a 162-game season.
No doubt.
The bullpen's just been absolutely fantastic.
They have. They've been great. And Gillespie did everything he needed to do yesterday. Yuki, I thought, was really, really good as well. But now you have a very rested Estrada, a rested Adam, a rested Suarez, a rested Jacob, a rested Morejon, and Wandy threw 13 pitches yesterday. So you like your chances in the next two, at least if Pivetta can keep you in there today. You've got all the arsenal available.
And how about Gillespie? Hadn't pitched in 15 days.
Yeah.
You have no idea when you're going to be used. You're sitting out there rotting in the bullpen for 2 weeks going, this team doesn't need me at all. And then when they needed him, came out and threw 2 2/3 decent innings for this team.
John says, at this point, Campy may be our best option at catcher. We have two older and lazy catchers. I've never seen professional catchers drop so many pitches or backhand pitches instead of blocking them. Have you ever watched Luis Camposano catch? He is the catcher that last week at AAA allowed three runners to score on a walk. Just so you guys know, I'm not a Campy hater, but I'm tired of the, hey, man, get him here. Like,
if Campy comes
we've
back,
seen
it's
him
a, it's
so
a
much.
Right-handed DH.
He is a right-handed DH. Maybe we'll play an inning or two at first.
I mean, they're not going to come out and say it, but I don't think Mike Schilt trusts Luis Camposano behind the plate.
Not even a little.
I don't think he's earned it, and he's going to go with his veterans as long as they're healthy and on the roster.
No question.
I think Camposano has caught his last game for the Padres.
He may have
played his last game for the Major League San Diego Padres.
I mean, again, if Mason McCoy...
I don't know if there's a trade coming or not.
If you need a right-handed power bat, because I know they said, well, we're bringing up McCoy because we need an infielder. We don't really need a third baseman. I mean, I guess if you want to get a guy off his feet for a day in Manny, Xander, or Iglesias, fine. That's what Mason McCoy's for. But if you needed a right-handed power bat, and Campy, once again, is tearing it up in AAA, as he always does, if he comes up and mashes, great. I want it for him. I appreciate all the struggles he's been through with his mental health, all that. I like Luis Camposano, but he's not some key to unlocking the Padres season, I don't think.
He's also not an unknown, like an up-and-comer that we haven't seen a ton of. Like, he's had plenty of opportunities.
And I think, our catching is... It's not been perfect. It's not, but it's been okay. Like, Diaz and Michael King work really, really well together.
They've already thrown out more runners than
last
year.
I mean, I know.
There have been, obviously, some ragged moments, but it's not been... What I was worried is the catcher would be just an absolute black hole.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been. It has not been. Even offensively, it has not been. I don't think Mason McCoy is a guy that... I don't think Mike Schilt's going to be working to get him ABs or, you know, he may not play at all. If they don't need him, you know, if no one else, you know, no one stubs a toe and he has to go in and play the infield, if they don't run down to the last man on the roster pinch hitting one day, he may be here for a week and never
see the field.
See the field.
But again, you think about Manny fouling two balls off.
But you need someone.
The inner foot, right? And if you needed to get him off his feet for a day, you could put McCoy at second.
You could.
And put Iglesias at third. If Manny needs to sit, I imagine he would be DHing, though. Does not like to come out of the lineup. Can't afford to have him out of the lineup right now. And that's the other thing is, when your whole team's banged up, guys like Toddy, guys like Manny, guys like Xander, they need to be playing every single day. Every single day. And they know that.
Toddy, congratulations. Fernando Tatis Jr. named the NL Player of the Week yesterday. Tatis going 9 for 24 with a .483 on base percentage, a .958 slugging percentage, a .1441 OPS, triple, four homers, seven runs batted in, and I think most impressively, well, the four home runs was most impressively, second most impressively, five walks last week. What has really changed about his game, willing to take his base on balls, get on base, the on-base percentage that has skyrocketed, just good at-bats consistently. And, hey, you put together a few Player of the Weeks over the course of the year, all of a sudden you are in the conversation and maybe at the top of the conversation for the National League Most Valuable Player Award at the end of the season.
No question. No question. And he's got to keep it going. He needs to really win it again. You know,
a few more times. This week would be another good one. He only had the one hit yesterday, did extend his streak, longest streak of his career, now reaching base, 22 straight games to start the season, longest streak in Major League Baseball right now. As well, he's consistently getting on and
scoring runs.
Yeah. I think when he scored in the first inning, that was the fourth straight run he had scored for the Padres, because he scored all three runs on Sunday and then scored again the first inning.
I think he scored the last six. Is that right?
Is that what he got to?
I think that's what somebody in the chat just said. Yeah, man. I mean, it's got to be tempting, right? Like, it's got to be tempting to be like, oh my God, he's on such a. Hey, when's the last time he's come up with somebody on base? Feels like never, because the bottom's not getting on right now.
And that's the argument that he shouldn't be in the leadoff spot.
I know.
Because he keeps coming up and hitting solo home runs when he hits them, because no one's on in front of him with that bottom of the lineup.
I know. And of course, you're tempted to be like, why don't I just put him in the three hole? see if you know, somebody, Sheets, can get on in front of him. And, you know, then he's got a chance at a three-run homer. But I think right now, you don't mess with it. He's doing too much from the leadoff spot. He loves hitting leadoff. I'm fine with it. Absolutely fine with it.
We'll get guys on. We'll talk more Padres baseball coming up. Jesse Agler, Padres play-by-play voice, will join us at 8:35 from Detroit as he gets ready to call today's game two of the series. Again, another 3:40 start and 2:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. Nick Pivetta on the mound against Jack Flaherty. Haven't seen Jack since the NLDS last year against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Didn't miss him at all.
No.
Well, I haven't missed him a bit.
Kind of one of the surprise signings of the offseason, in that his return to Detroit, I think, was a little unexpected for people. But
yeah, I mean, he really wanted to be back with the Dodgers, and they had other plans. And so he's, I guess he kind of settled for Detroit. It was the opportunity there, and he's familiar there, and has pitched well. He's pitched well since he's been back.
It did feel like a bit of a settle.
It did.
That was a good word for it.
He was openly lobbying to go back to L.A.
Right. But when that wasn't an option, he looked around and went, well, if the money's about the same, I'm comfortable, you know, been there in Detroit before, might as well make it a kind of a happy homecoming. And they got a decent team, obviously, and a deep pitching staff, and he feels like probably has a chance to make the postseason, and absolutely does with the Detroit Tigers. So that's your matchup for today's game, and we'll talk about it more with Jesse Agler coming up at 8:35.
There is one thing that people are talking they're talking about. Why are we continuing to put the catcher in the nine hole? It just like clogs. You know what I mean? Like, put the catcher in the eight, put a Tyler Wade in the nine, maybe with somebody a little speed, double leadoff type situation. It does seem to clog every time we get to Diaz or Maldonado.
He did put Connor Joe in the one start
in the nine hole,
which I like that idea.
I did too.
And I wouldn't mind seeing that more. And with, you know, both Diaz and Maldonado hitting some line drives.
I mean,
I wouldn't mind them moving up to the eight spot.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's probably something Mike Schilt should do.
Kind of an easy fix there.
All right. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, don't do this. Nico Harrison's not quite at Hall of Fame, don't do this levels, but my goodness gracious, he is certainly making a nice run for DDT MVP in the first half of 2025.
Yeah, why does he do a press conference every single day about this horror? Every day I put on Twitter, I look at Twitter,
and
he's
somehow
on there.
Makes it worse.
Every time.
Every single time
it's worse.
Makes it worse.
Oh, and I've got some very, very upset Aztecs football fans.
Oh, nice. All right, we'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
You know, I'm making my trip, Las Vegas, Henderson, but honestly, I've been to the card rooms there, and it's such a hassle now to even go there, you know, in the parking, they charge you for parking, and now at all those casinos. I'd rather just make the short trip down to 7 Mile Casino when I play cards, Texas Hold'em, sit down at one of their great tables. It really is an unmatched experience if you were a card player.
Yeah, buddy, every single time, yeah, you go to 7 Mile Casino, you park, you walk right in, right? It's not a huge, huge place. It's big enough to where you don't feel like you're in some back alley room. It's bright, it's airy, it's cool. They got a great bar area, got a phenomenal patio area out there as well. If you've been there, then you know. But go check out some California-style blackjack, some Texas Hold'em, some Pai Gow, some Baccarat in a smoke-free environment with no slot machines, which
you
is also a plus.
You don't have to drive way out into the East County. You don't have to drive 6 hours to Nevada. None of that. It's just a short trip down the 5 freeway. Get off. Stay on the west side, Bay Boulevard in Chula Vista. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Don't do this.
It's time for... Don't do this.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple shall fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Ben mocks the draft. He's only about 15 minutes away. Don't go anywhere. First, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. You ever get into an argument with your significant other?
Never. Never once.
And I'm speaking mostly to the guys out there.
Never
once. And you feel like, okay, I can fix this. I know exactly what to say. I can fix this. I'm gonna say the right words. I'm gonna smooth it out. I'm gonna explain myself, and people shall understand where I'm coming from, and everything will be fine. And then you say it, and you make it worse. Okay. All right. Now I'm in the doghouse. And then the next day, you think, okay, I said it wrong yesterday. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to say the right thing. And then you try again, and you make it even worse. And it's like, oh, I should have just not said anything.
Yeah, she should just wear it.
That's Nico Harrison, general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, who is now held multiple interviews, news conferences, private sessions with the media.
Maybe you stop talking about it.
Trying to explain the Luka Doncic trade. And every time, somehow, it seems to get worse. Yesterday was the end of season. You know, the Mavs eliminated from the play-in tournament, so they're done for the year. So exit interviews, got the media, and, you know, they're still asking questions about the trade. Is, you know, did you, Nico, did you expect the kind of blowback? Did you not foresee this kind of blowback when you traded your franchise's young face of the franchise superstar, Nico?
Yeah, good question. I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level.
Oh.
But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage.
All right. I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. Picture A.J. Preller saying that after trading Fernando Tatis Jr.
Correct.
I did know Fernando was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. I mean, think how insane that would sound coming out of A.J. Preller's mouth. This is essentially the same thing.
On
a basketball scale in Dallas.
I actually thought Jackson Merrill, but
Jackson Merrill.
Sub one or the other.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean, Luka's got a few years in the league, you know. So
Age-wise, it's a similar comp. Accomplishment-wise, Luka's even more accomplished than even Fernando is.
Yeah.
In terms of what he's done in his career. He's gotten to an NBA Finals, been one of the best players in the league consistently. And he's got a huge, bright future ahead of him. He's popular. He's charismatic. The fan base loves him. I didn't quite know it to what level? Are you kidding me?
Trade him for a defense-first right fielder because defense wins championships. Like, oh, but you mean he won a platinum glove? But we're going to – now we figure defense wins championships, so we're going to – yeah, we know the hitting's not there. But, yeah, I think we would all collectively lose our minds. And, I mean, it's cost the Dallas Mavericks – he probably hasn't slept in weeks. And what's his solution? Go do more press conferences. Keep talking about it. Bro, I'd be in a cabin somewhere.
You're going to be on Howard Stern tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be on Stern tomorrow?
Now that their season is over, Nico.
Just go away for a while.
No one needs to hear from you until at least after the
NBA
draft.
Next on First Take, Nico Harris.
I just can't believe all this blowback.
Doing the media tour.
It's crazy. Well, speaking of blowback, Aztecs head football coach Sean Lewis getting a little bit from some hardcore Aztecs fans. So they did their Aztec Fast Showcase, just to show some fans what to expect during the 2025 season. They had about 1,000 people, Benny, that came out to watch what I think a lot of people expected was to be the spring game, right? You've got, okay, this is what we've been working on. This is our quarterback. These are our receivers. This is our tight end. Here's our line. We're gonna scrimmage each other and show you guys what we're doing. Well, that's not exactly what happened. They did not do the true spring game, Ben. They went out and they played dodgeball, and I did see a really cool highlight of somebody slinging a ball. One of the guys, he did a backflip over it. I mean, very athletic. But they were playing dodgeball. They played tic-tac-toe.
It was an athletic version
of tic-tac-toe.
They had to like sprint and put their pieces on the board, you know, and then run back, and then someone else would. I mean, I saw video of it. It wasn't just tic-tac-toe, but yeah. It was
Duck, duck, goose. I just made that up.
They didn't play duck, duck, goose.
Heads up, 7-up. So they went out and they
Red
played
Rover,
these games.
Red Rover, send Sean Lewis
right
over.
So they went out and did this. And again, like, a lot of teams have kind of banged the spring game. They don't want to get guys hurt, you know, and Sean Lewis. But I thought Sean Lewis's response after when they asked him about it, because people, they got mad. They got mad. There was a guy that tweeted something about
it's like, give me one good reason.
Yeah, here you go. I would like a good explanation for not doing a true spring game. I'm pretty open-minded, but elementary school games just doesn't cut it. If J.D. Wicker wants to get season ticket holders, this is not going to help. It's hard to take the program serious with this nonsense. Sean Lewis came out and said, look, we used to allow people to smoke on planes as well. And then time evolved, and we did things differently for the health and safety of everyone. It's my responsibility to care for the health and safety of our team. Now, the 1,000 people that came was about a third of what showed up last year. Season tickets for the Aztecs are down 33%.
Yeah, they've only sold about 5,000 to 6,000 season tickets now. It's very concerning for the program.
When they report 1,000 people showed up to spring workout,
they're not underestimating. Let's just say that.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So it wasn't
2,500, and they thought, hey, 1,000 sounds good. Let's just go with a nice round number.
It caused a little bit of consternation right now. But again, like, you would hate to go play your spring game and get somebody hurt in what is essentially a meaningless game.
I think there's a bit of an old head fan-ness to the complaints.
Sure.
Ultimately, if the Aztecs jump out and they win their first 6 games next year, no one's going to care what kind of spring game they had. And if they had a spring game but go 0-6 to start the season, no one's going to care what kind of spring game they have.
Yeah, they go 0-6. It's absolutely the first thing you can point to, though.
It's one of those things that's the low-hanging fruit.
But ultimately, they're going to attract fans if they win games.
Correct.
You know, compete, have a chance to maybe make a college, win a conference title, make a college football playoff. And if they don't do that, they're going to see those numbers continue to dwindle. They have to win.
But if you don't play a spring game, how will you get ready for Stony Brook, which is nearly 4.5 months away? That's the problem. I mean, because you play Stony Brook. That's why nobody wants to go watch, because you're playing Stony Brook.
But then if you do get a giant team to come in, does it help you to get bodied 42-7? Does that get the fan base more excited?
I just don't know.
Getting bodied by Texas A&M or, you know, maybe winning 33-26 against Stony Brook. I have no idea. But they just have to win. I mean, they've established a basketball program. that people now believe in,
yes,
and expect is going to go to the tournament and can go to the Final Four. They don't believe that about the football team right now.
Yeah.
That's the main problem at San Diego State. No one thinks they can do it until they see it, and they haven't seen it in years.
But again, Paulie does make the point of, like, it's such low-hanging fruit. And again, like, he's not the only coach in America has banged the spring game. You know what I mean?
It's more the comment. When I read that story yesterday, it was the comment from Sean Lewis where I was like, come on, guy. Hey, fans are upset. And he goes, well, you know, we used to smoke on airplanes.
We don't do that anymore.
I'm like, okay, all right. You're right.
You got us. Good luck against Stony Brook.
But it's also like, hey, coach, this has been a tradition for 40 years.
Yeah, some people wanted to see it.
People were expecting it, not tic-tac-toe. Well, we used to not have seatbelts in cars, but we decided that was a good change. You're absolutely right.
You're right.
Good luck against Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Mentioned yesterday how surprised I was that Justin Thomas had never made a putt to win a golf tournament, and then he did it on Sunday. I was even more surprised to learn yesterday, and I turned it on right after the Padre game was on. I flipped over to ESPN, and it was just in time for Alex Ovechkin to score a overtime goal to lift the Washington Capitals over the Montreal Canadiens in game one of their opening round playoff series. And what made it so remarkable is that Ovechkin, who, of course, broke Wayne Gretzky's record this season by scoring his 895th career goal, never scored an overtime playoff winner.
It's pretty incredible.
In all those years, they won a Stanley Cup back in 2018, been with the Caps his entire career, had never done it in OT in a playoff game to finish it. 152nd career postseason game, and they went crazy in that one. It was a pretty cool moment, and thought that was he's had a fun few weeks for Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, I'm sure he would take, that's the one that he probably wanted the most, is that one that he just scored. That was pretty incredible.
Doesn't add to his total because it's a playoff goal, but still very cool. And that's Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it is time. We're still a couple of days away from the actual NFL draft, but Ben mocks the draft. I've got my 10 selection mock draft for you coming up next here. Don't go away on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, tell you about SDFatLoss.com. I was kind of mocking myself a couple of years ago looking in the mirror when I just saw it. Now, don't like what I'm seeing now. I've let it go a little too much, put on a little too much weight. What can I do about it? I had done other programs where I had bought, like, eat 4 bars a day and then one tiny meal, and I lost weight. And guess what happened? When I was done and I couldn't eat bars anymore, I gained the weight right back because I hadn't changed any of my habits. But with SDFatLoss.com, I ate regular foods from the grocery store, chicken and steak and fish. I lost weight, and now I've kept the weight off for a year and a half. What's the point of losing weight if you're just going to gain it back? With SDFatLoss.com, they're going to help you. They're going to help you keep it off afterwards with great support from your counselors. And you don't do it with any drugs or injections. So this is not artificial. This is real weight loss. And you don't even have to exercise while you're doing it. Although I will say, after I lost the weight, it was so much easier to exercise. I exercise quite a bit now. It's not nearly as bad as it used to be because of the weight loss. So many benefits from losing weight. You can take those benefits now yourself by setting up a free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. Take advantage of their spring special right now this month. Get $200 off. And if you start now, by the time summer rolls around and June gloom is gone, you'll be a new you. 10 to 20% of your body weight off, up to a pound of fat per day by going to SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. All right, we'll get back to the baseball talk. Jesse Agler will join us in our next hour from Detroit.
We need a word for Jesse Agler.
We do need a word. Or a drop.
I'm out of ideas.
Well, we're 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the season.
Well, we were going to do slang, but all of our slang is either weed or sex, so we can't really do any of that. I doubt very much he's going to say raw dog or loose.
Everybody must get stoned.
We're not getting drops until we come up with one.
Loose cannabis.
We're going to find.
How are we
Stroganoff.
Gonna do that? Yeah, oh, my God.
Probably not.
You know, he's got people he has to answer to as well, right?
Loose cannabis?
Yeah, he can't say that on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Funny. I would love it. But I want him to keep his job, not get in any trouble. So
fair enough. So, yes, you're going to get minimal NFL draft coverage on our show.
Correct.
For various reasons. First, I think, and foremost, we don't have a team.
Yeah.
So it really is fairly irrelevant to San Diego. Now, yeah. I know there are some NFL fans. The second part is that I kind of think the draft coverage is insanely stupid for the most part.
It's pretty nuts, man.
There's so much time and effort spent on something that is inherently almost completely unpredictable.
Yeah.
Not only where the players are going to go, but then how they will perform in their careers.
And every one of them is a can't miss, by the way.
Right.
It's just like, holy cow, do you have anything bad to say about this guy at all?
Which is why we don't tend to spend a lot of time on it.
I will watch it, no question, on Thursday night. There will be nothing else to watch for me, so I will watch the draft, and we'll talk about it a little bit on Friday, and you'll be gone. You'll be playing golf, but Paulie and I will talk about it a little bit. And that's really the extent of it.
But, we had to do something. So a few years ago, came up with the idea of a mock draft. Ben mocks the draft. and the rules, and they really are very loose on the
They're
rules.
Loose cannabis rules here.
I try to take actual draft prospects.
Correct.
In fact, this year, all 10 selections in my draft are true players who appear on mock drafts. Now, they're definitely not in order. You're not going to get your big stars here because, well, that's not how I do things with my mock the draft. But when we come back from traffic, and I'm looking at this, and even I am kind of groaning on some of these, which is a bad sign.
I can't wait.
Oh, God.
Bad sign, really. Yeah, I'm actually kind of nervous about how bad it is this year, but well, we're going to do it anyway. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
The 2025 NFL draft is now officially open.
I've taken my spot at the podium, Woods. If you're on our YouTube stream, I even have the official backdrop now behind me.
Looks incredible.
All right, are we ready to kick this thing off?
Ready to introduce me? The commissioner has stepped to the podium.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Higgins, commissioner.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select
Ethan Downs, defensive end from Oklahoma. Quote from Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi. We could have taken Cam Ward or Travis Hunter, but most teams only get 4 downs to move the chains. We think Ethan will give us a 20% edge on the rest of the league. And pause for silence. Okay, thanks. Well, you're really going to hate the next one, then. Shall we just move on?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Get to number 2. Right.
With the second pick in the NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select
Dante Trader Jr., safety, Maryland. Browns GM Andrew Berry was going to do the same thing and take Ethan Downs, but panicked when he was selected number 1. When asked what he wanted to do now with the number 2 pick, he said, traitor.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Number 3. Hardly know her.
With the 3rd pick in the NFL draft, the New York Giants select
a big pick here.
Jake Brining Stool, tight end from Clemson.
What a pick.
Quote from Giants GM Joe Shane. Jake Brining Stool brings something unique to the table. He has one of the rarest last names in the entire world. He can also bring his stool to the table if we need somewhere to sit. This one's ragged. This is a really ragged one this
so
year.
Ragged.
Sorry.
He's being very literal.
I know.
Very literal.
It's 6 more picks.
I know.
Mike says this could be the longest segment ever. You're not kidding, Mike. Imagine sitting in here with your skin crawling like you're coming off Percocet.
Imagine me being the one who's actually doing it.
Oh, look, here comes the commissioner for the 4th pick.
Only 7 more picks to go.
With the 4th pick in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots select
Ariante Ursary, offensive tackle from Minnesota. Patriots Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Elliot Wolf. This will go down as a legendary date in Patriots history. Every year, we will celebrate this pick as our Ursary anniversary.
That's a good one. I like that one. Mike says we need a Padres win streak big time. We could be in the middle of a 12-game win streak. We're still mocking the draft. We're not skipping Ben mocks the draft, dude. Doesn't matter. They could have won 14-1 last night. We're not skipping this.
No, I like it.
The Ursary anniversary, I liked.
With the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select
Armand Membo, offensive lineman from Missouri. Quote from Jags GM James Gladstone. I couldn't pass on the opportunity to take Membo number 5 and get a little bit of Armand in my life.
Yes, yes.
A little bit of Membo.
That's really good.
Well done.
Better.
I like that.
That's
what
I had to put that one number 5, obviously.
Obviously. So, yeah, obviously, that's brilliant.
Honestly.
It's brilliant. These are getting better.
That might be the best one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
With the sixth pick in the NFL draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select
Jalen Walker, linebacker from Georgia. Raiders GM John Spytek. I appreciate Jay Walker's ability to cross the field whenever he wants to. He doesn't need a green light to go. He just looks both ways and charts his own path.
Jay Walker. I like it.
I like it. I like it. 3 out of 5 is pretty good.
We've done so,
2 out of 5.
Well.
2 out of 3.
1.5.
I'll give you 3. Right. There's 3 really good ones.
All right. We are on to the seventh pick. Seventh the pick is in, gentlemen.
3 out of 6. Jay Walker.
With the seventh pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select.
He's chortling. You hear the booze in the
background. The booze.
Which is
that's our tier ones right now.
You knew it was coming. The Jets select Cam Scataboo, running back from Arizona State. Said new Jets general manager Darren Mooji. At least when our New York fans are expressing their displeasure at our offense, it will sound like they're cheering for our new running back.
Because of Scataboo. Got it. I was waiting for a scat joke, but apparently you missed
where to go,
that one.
That's where I landed.
All right.
With the 8th pick in the NFL draft, the Carolina Panthers select
Kobe Bryant, cornerback, Kansas. Panthers GM Dan Morgan said the plan is to pair him with linebacker Shaq Thompson and let the championship start rolling in.
Could have gone a very dastardly way there as well.
Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
See Shaq what you did Kobe. There.
C-O-B-E-E.
Oh, okay.
Not K-O-B-E.
All right.
Yeah. But real prospects.
Just two more picks.
I didn't make up any names.
And this year's Ben mocks the draft. No. The pick is in with the 9th pick. Let's go to the podium.
With the 9th pick in the NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints select
Will Campbell, offensive lineman, LSU. Apparently, Saints GM Mickey Loomis is a tier one. Quote, I kept hearing Bennett Woods say I needed to get a will, so here we are. Kind of like that one, no? Not, no?
It's like a Bo joke.
Fine.
No, you know, because of trust in Will.
Yes, I got it.
Not going to like this last one.
Not going to like it. Well, let's wrap up Ben mocks the draft. The commissioner is approaching the podium. The pick is in.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
Isaac Tesla, wide receiver from Arkansas. Bears GM Ryan Poles was honest. He said, this pick, just an excuse to share some of the AI results when I Googled Tesla jokes.
That is how we end.
Why
ben
do Teslas make terrible roommates?
Oh, he's not done.
Why?
They always hog the outlet. How does a Tesla flirt? It says, are you AC because you're electrifying? What's a Tesla's favorite Halloween costume? An electric ghost.
Why don't you hit the road for your trip now?
What's a Tesla owner's favorite kind of music? Current hits. That's how bad AI humor is.
It's pretty bad.
That is how bad
it really is. Did you try AI jokes for these?
I did, and I realized they're even worse than I am. That's one thing that AI may never understand is humor, as apparently I don't either.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm just going to take this background off and
move
on.
Do that.
And get back to real life. Was that the worst one ever?
Yeah.
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 Other than Membo.
You're very literal in this one. Like, hey, he's Hightower because he's tall. It's good to finally have a tall guy here. Hightower. You could have gone so many different ways.
I struggled badly. I worked for a week and a half kind of trying to come up with ones, and I just was having trouble this time.
I love the bit. I will always love the bit. And the worse the bit is, the better it is for
me. That was what I was
hoping. I don't know how accurate you're going to be. No Cam Ward in the top 10.
No Cam Ward.
Right. You may hear all of those names at some point, though. And if you do,
you'll remember. You absolutely will.
From Ben Mock's
The Draft. What's the Cam Ward joke, though? You know what I mean? It's hard to. You need funny names. Like Scataboo, you really could have gone blue with that one.
Very.
Yes. And you decided not to.
I decided not. Oh, that's what I usually decide.
That's true. That's true. Well, I loved it. I thought it was terrible, which means it's great. You embrace the suck.
Worst
right?
ever.
You're red. You're beet red right now.
Yeah.
He is as red as a plum right now.
I did better at the roast.
You really murdered the roast. Murdered the
Maybe
roast.
Maybe I should roast the draft picks
next year. But you roast the draft. That's not bad.
Ben
that's
roasts bad. The draft.
Yeah, the Kobe joke could have been very dark. Yeah, 100%, Dominic.
I try not to go dark. You know me. I'm more of a...
Yeah.
Lighthearted.
Yeah. That was, I liked it, though. The Membo number 5 was fantastic.
I thought that was definitely.
And the Jaywalker. Yeah. The uncomfortableness is what I love about it.
I know it is.
It's the.
I knew we'd lean heavily into the.
Oh, yeah.
Into the discomfort.
It's the Andy Kaufman type of comedy that makes my skin crawl on live radio. It's
great.
There
is something about saying something and not getting a reaction that is. Maybe the worst thing.
It happened to me at the roast. I did it. It absolutely happened to me. And for whatever reason, I didn't care at that point because we were just going, you know, at that point. But I thought, I thought that was really good and terrible, which was perfect.
Armand Membo, offensive lineman from Missouri. Quote from Jags GM James Gladstone. I couldn't pass on the opportunity to take Membo number 5 and get a little bit of Armand in my life.
That's really good. That was really good. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for doing it. It takes a real...
I don't think I could do it.
I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it.
Yes, Johnny. Embrace the suck.
Embrace the suck.
As Woods likes to say.
Yeah. This guy says, that's one draft I don't want to re-Membo. Oh, that was so good. Dominic brings up the Bob Saget roast where Norm MacDonald reads those jokes out of a book.
Yeah.
And he just leaned all the way in. And it was the worst collection of jokes you have ever heard.
I know what you refer to.
You remember that?
There is a little bit of that. Yes,
there's some
of
that.
Oh,
Norm MacDonald, legend.
So brilliant. What about your dad jokes book? Did you take that home or did you leave it here in the studio?
Right here.
Yeah, you got it from a tier one.
Do we need to turn to a palette?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Someone threw a bottle of omega-3 capsules at me. Luckily, my injuries are only super fish oil.
I had the, speaking of, I had the fish oil burps last night, which I don't think there's anything worse than that.
No.
Here's one right below it. One more. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
A bloke on a tractor has just driven past me shouting, "The end of the world is nigh." I think it was Farmer Geddon.
That was terrible. You ruined it. You already
could have gone out on top.
You could have gone out on top with the other one.
Book.
Do you take fish oil?
I used to take fish oil.
Man, I have the burpless ones.
Still
false advertising. I'm laying in bed last night watching the game.
There's nothing burpless in your life. No one.
Nothing.
I don't know anyone who burps as much as you do.
My 4-year-old.
Does he?
Yeah. He's constant. There was a kid in our neighborhood. I won't bring him up by name, but he's a. We're talking about our flag football team that we're going to be kicking off here in a couple months. And excuse me. He was talking about one of the kids on the team. He goes, he always makes fun of me. I go, oh, he does? For what? He goes, well, I fart a lot. And I go, you do? I go, well, I'd make fun. I go, where? He goes, in school. I go, well, I would make fun of you too if you don't.
You're the fart kid.
I go, I love this kid. I go, don't be the fart kid in school. He goes, I'm already in too deep. I can't get out. That's his quote. He is seven. We were all riding scooters around the neighborhood. I almost wrecked my scooter. I was laughing so hard. He goes, I'm in too deep. I can't get out.
He has to wait until he's 19, heads off to college, and can reset.
You got
to
reset, it's dude.
Until then, though, you know, all the way through high school, that's your identity.
I go, hey. I go, just don't do it in class, man. And he's like, I don't know. I'm in too deep. I can't get out. He's seven. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard. And I just told him, I said, hey, man, you got to stop now, okay? He goes, yeah, they do.
It's not too late.
They call me, like, farter and, like, farty. And I'm like, well, of course they do. That's what kids do. I tell both of my kids, make sure your nose is clean when you walk in. You don't want to be snots or booger or anything. Like, take care of business, man. This is for your own good. Like, I don't want you to have to go through your life as, you know, hey, look, there's old Farty Woods or Booger Woods. Like, nobody wants that.
But everyone does it.
Well, yeah, everyone does it, but not everyone rips it in class.
Right.
You have to have some self-control. But, man, I'm already in too deep, I can't get out.
It's amazing.
I was like, you are. He is so funny, dude.
What a line.
Just almost wrecked my scooter. I did. I was like, hey, you got to clean it up, dude. You can't do this, man.
It's kind of like cancel Ben Mock's the draft, but we're already in too deep at this point.
Yeah, we are absolutely
in
too deep.
We can't get out from Ben Mock's the draft as much as we'd like to.
And every year I think, send me yours and let's see if I can tweak them. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to tweak them. I want straight up from
Ben's mind. Unadulterated.
Yes. Yes.
Raw, unfiltered Benism.
I would have gone a little darker on a couple, for sure.
Yeah.
You made me nervous on a couple.
We will come back, hour number three. Take on Woods. We got Jesse Agler joining us. Talk some more baseball. Lots to get to.
I'm in too deep. I can't get out.
Draft coverage complete, at least until Thursday, with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.